Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Steve and I ate out with some friends recently, and I ordered a salad as part of my meal. When it came, I was very disappointed and frustrated to find that it had been tainted by the most nasty of ingredients, olives. Now, I believe that every olive in the world should be used to make olive oil, and the waste should be thrown into the outer darkness. Now, I didn't make a scene. I just picked them out. I sorted out my salad as the part to be enjoyed and the part to be thrown away. In today's parable, Jesus gives us a look at the future. I'm going to read it again. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people out from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Olives. Jesus tells us there is a judgment coming. There will be a time when those who are blessed will rejoice with the Son of Man while the goats go away into eternal punishment. Now, I'm not a huge fan of preaching about judgment. As a matter of fact, I started complaining as soon as I read the text for today. I'm not a huge fan of preaching about judgment because, number one, it forces me to evaluate my own shortcomings, of which there are many. And number two, it's often used as a scare tactic. People think they can scare the heaven right into you. They think that if they make you so scared of hell, then you'll end up loving God. A college friend of mine actually experienced this. He went to a revival and was literally scared into being saved. Now, personally, I don't see that as a way of making lifelong disciples. I see it as a way to prey on the emotions of people. But the main reason I have such a problem with it is because it places us as the judge. If we are telling people they are going to hell, they are going to that they are a goat, we are casting judgment on them. Jesus begins this parable by telling us who actually does the judging. Judgment will come from him, the Son of Man, when he sits on the throne of glory. We don't have that power. We don't have the ability to look at our neighbor and decide whether they love God enough to spend eternity in heaven or hell. And if you ever hear that we can do that, then stop listening to that preacher, tune him or her out, and change the channel. Judgment of our fellow brothers and sisters is the God of the job of the one who is perfect, just, and holy. It is the job of Jesus Christ. Today is Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday of the Christian year, the last Sunday before Advent. Today we remind ourselves who the one in charge is, who it is that rules our lives here on earth and in the world to come. We are ruled by a generous, forgiving, loving, and grace-filled King. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is righteous and holy. Now, this parable starts with judgment, but then it flows into compassion. The compassion comes when we learn what the sheep did to inherit the kingdom. Now, let's be clear. There is nothing we can do to earn our way into heaven. It is a gift, but we do need to live into that gift. In the parable of the talents that we heard last week, Jesus reminded us that we will receive a tremendous gift, the gift of salvation. And we are told that we need to share that gift with others. We can't do anything to earn salvation, but we do need to do something once we have it. To live a life with Christ means that we have to go where Christ is, and that is what the rest of this parable is about. Now, several years ago, Jim Wallace wrote an article in the Sojourners magazine, and he was telling the story of a morning when the volunteers at a soup kitchen were getting ready, for the long line of unhoused people that stood outside waiting. Someone asked one of the workers to pray, and she prayed, "Jesus, help me see your face when you come through the line." When we look at the people around us, we need to be on the lookout for Jesus. We as Christians believe that Christ is all around us. We just need to have the eyes to see him. When he is talking to the sheep, he tells them that they were the ones who had compassion for the least of those around us. The hungry, they gave food. The thirsty, they gave something to drink. The sick, they took care of. The naked, they clothed. The stranger, they welcomed in. The prisoners, they visited. They took care of the members of the family, the other children of God. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but there's something called the World Economic Forum, and it's really cool. They take the statistics of the world's population, and they reduce it to 100 people. And so if the entire world's population was 100 people, 50 would be female, 50 would be male, 25 would be children, and there would be 75 adults, 9 of whom would be 65 and older. There would be 60 Asians, 16 Africans, 14 people from the two Americas, 10 Europeans. There would be 31 Christians, 23 Muslims, 30 people who practice other religions, and 16 people who would not be aligned with any religion at all. 60 would speak other languages. 86 would be able to read and write. Seven would have a college degree. 40 would have internet connection. 78 people would have a place to shelter them from the wind and the rain, but 22 would not. And the same numbers apply to having electricity. 37 would lack access to adequate sanitation. 16 would not have toilets at all. 9 would have no clean, safe water to drink. 14 of those would live with some disability. 1 would be dying of starvation. 11 would be undernourished. 22 would be overweight. 12 of those 25 children would live in poverty. 48 would live on less than $2 a day. 80 would live on less than $10 a day. One person would earn more than $90 a day, and the same person controls 50% of the wealth. We have to constantly remind ourselves that the world is a lot bigger than what is in front of our own eyes each day. There is life outside 1350 Pisgah Church Road in Lexington, South Carolina. There are people going hungry in Africa and Asia, but also right down the street. There are people who cannot heat their homes this winter, and people who don't even have a home. We'll go out to breakfast or lunch or even dinner this afternoon, but there are children who go to school across the street who don't have food to eat on the weekends. This is the last parable that Jesus tells his disciples. And these are the last words he conveys to them as a group. He looks at them and says, "These people are our family, and we need to be taking care of them. But in order to do that, we have to stop judging. We tend to look at people around in need around us, the least of these in our community, and pass judgment on them. We judge them as lazy or unwilling or too proud. Don't they know they could go to McDonald's and get a job? We judge them as weak and brainless. Don't they realize they can quit or leave anytime they want? We judge them by saying they aren't worthy of having the life that we have because they speak another language. Why don't they just go back to where they came from and leave us alone? We constantly pass judgment, but Christ tells us to stop and have compassion. We are all sinners, and most of us are lucky enough to escape paying for those sins for the rest of our lives. Instead of seeing just the sin, we need to learn to see the person, the child of God. Instead of expressing judgment, we need to express compassion. In that parable, Jesus the King is judged. We don't need to do that. He is quite capable of judgment. He calls on us to do the compassion part for him in his name. When we start with compassion, then we start to take care of those people's needs. We feed the hungry. We clothe the naked. We provide supplies for school children. We give gifts to make Christmas meaningful. We give blood so others can live. We send money to victims of natural disasters so they can get their lives back. When we start with compassion, we start to have a heart that looks like the King we serve. Christ the King has the ability to see into our souls and understand every motivation behind every decision. He can tell if we are truly wanting to help or just going through the motions. Yet, thank God, he comes from a place of compassion first and then judgment. That means that we need to imitate his example. We need to demonstrate that same compassion for others. Mother Teresa said, "When I die and I meet Jesus, I can see him upset that I judged too much, but I cannot envision him telling me that he is angry because I had too much compassion." If you look at our mission statement, you'll be reminded that one of our core values is accept all. That means that we as a congregation feel that we should be a welcoming place for everybody, no matter who you are, what you've done, or whatever your background, letting Jesus be the one to tear down the barriers. But it means more than that. It means that each one of us should take that core value of acceptance and hospitality and love and try to live those values in our daily lives. It means that when we go out into the world, we don't look at it as a world of us and them, but that we look at the world as composed of children and God and potential church members, either here with us or in other churches. The church cannot preach acts of compassion to the hungry, the thirsty, the imprisoned, the naked, unless it is composed of congregations and individuals who live it out. Those acts of compassion don't just need to happen here in this church on Sunday morning. Those acts of compassion need to happen in our everyday lives, in our everyday encounters, when we entertain a stranger, when we refrain from thoughts of hate or ridicule and stay away from those who say and do those things. When we stand up for the rights of the poor, the down and out, and those who are struggling just to survive. Our God is a compassionate God, and we can rejoice in that fact. Today, as the journey of Advent is almost upon us, we can stand assured that we can be the servants that our King wants us to be. We can be a people of compassion and leave the judging to Him. We can meet the people around us and pray that we see the face of Jesus. We can make a world which takes care of the majority who are unable to read, who are malnourished, who live in despair. We can do this because when we do, we meet the risen Lord that we serve. Amen.